they've been in the press about the church. And the fact it seems kind of small and insignificant. And yet Paul, in this passage, and in the passages we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians, Paul raises up the significance of the church. He has a very high view of the church. He calls it, as we saw actually in the verse just before the one that Sandra started reading for us, in verse 9 he says, the church is God's field, God's building. And as we saw in the passage, it says the church is God's temple. God views the church as something very, very significant. But a church isn't significant just because it calls itself a church. Paul is dealing here with a church in Corinth, which has kind of gone off the rails, really. In the church, there are divisions. They've kind of lined up behind various church leaders in a kind of almost celebrity culture kind of way. Some saying, I follow this leader, others, I follow that leader. And they're divided. And Paul is having to get them back on the rails, and he's having to tell them, this is what you need to be and to do as a church. And in the image, and in the passage we've just looked at, that Sandra just read for us, the image he uses is that of a builder. And you could sum it up, what he's saying, or what he's saying in this passage, by just the last sentence of verse 10. Do you have a look at that last sentence of verse 10? It says, but each one should be careful how he builds. There you go, up on the screen. Each one should be careful how he builds. Now, in the previous passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, we saw Paul was using a different image. He was using that of the garden or the field. And he was saying, he, Paul, was the one who planted. Apollos, another leader, was the one who watered. But it's God who brings the growth. So he was very much focusing there on saying, it's God. It's all about God building the church, God bringing the growth. But now he's saying, each one builds. Now, it's interesting that Paul puts both of those things together, doesn't he? He says, it's God who brings the growth, but each one builds. He says, both are true. That's not a contradiction. It's God who brings the growth. It's God who does that. But we've got to build. And we've got to be careful how we build. But even as we build, any growth that we see, that's because God is bringing it. You see, God, again in the Bible, as you see in lots of other places, two things are put together. God's sovereignty, God's complete control, and our responsibility that we've got to do things. And both are put together. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that's a contradiction. It's just that it's true. Both go together. We see growth in church. We see, well, that's God doing that. But we've also got to build. And we've got to be careful how we build. And so Paul, we're going to pick out three things that Paul says about how you should build. We're going to think about the foundation. We're going to think about the building, and we're going to think about destroying. Foundation, building, destroying. Okay, so first one, the foundation. Well, no surprise, the foundation is Jesus. Verse 10, have a look again. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So using this analogy, this picture of a building, Paul is saying, I came and I laid a foundation. And now you see that in Acts chapter 18, when Paul came to the church, he's planted the church, and he said, the foundation, what I used to plant the church was Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And you can't look to any other foundation. He is the only foundation that there is. Now, you might think, well, okay, that's nice and obvious. Think we know that. Think we've grasped that. Jesus Christ, yes, he's the foundation. Of course he is. But hang on, don't go off that too quickly. Let's not move on too quickly. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. He is what we're all about. Without Jesus, there is no point in us meeting. He is our all. And notice with you that this is corporate. Paul is saying Jesus is the foundation of the church. It's tempting to apply that individually, isn't it? And to say, Jesus is my foundation, which is true. The New Testament does talk about individual salvation and talks about your individual relationship with Jesus. Paul in Galatians says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's personal. He's saying, I no longer live. It's Christ living in me. Personal, individual. But here he's saying, Jesus is the foundation of the church, of us together, of us corporately. Why did Jesus die? Well, he died for my sin, true. But also, we learn in Titus, to purify for himself a people who are his very own, eager to do what is good. So you've got to hold on to both. If you're a Christian, you're saved individually. He died for my sin. But also, he died, as we see in Titus, to create a people. And Jesus is the foundation of us as a church. It's like there's a turnstile. When you become a Christian, you go through that turnstile. And yes, that brings you into relationship with God, but also into the church, into being part of God's people. And the foundation of that is Jesus Christ. Now, churches can go wrong in this. We need to take the warning from this. Paul's saying, don't lay any other foundation. Now, there are some obvious ways that we could go wrong, aren't there? By having a completely different foundation. If you dig up the foundation and say, we're going to lay something else. Well, you say, well, that might be blatantly obvious. If there's a church which doesn't talk about Jesus, which isn't founded on Jesus, it's not a church. So we're not going to fall for that one. But also, we've got to be careful of the subtler thing, which is speaking of Jesus and being a church that could speak of Jesus and even teach about Jesus, but it's not the real Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this of the Corinthian church. He says this up on the screen. He says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, you put up with it easily enough. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying, I preached to you Jesus, but there are other people who are coming to you and preaching another Jesus. They're still calling him Jesus. They're still saying it's the Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. Is it not the same person? Yeah, same name, but it's different. Now, we've got to be careful on that, haven't we? That we as a church, we're not sort of lopsided in what we teach about Jesus, that we're not just teaching part of who Jesus is or some of the things he taught without dealing with the difficult things. Actually, you've got to teach Jesus and preach the real Jesus, who he really is. The foundation of the church is the Jesus of the Bible. Okay, so the foundation is Jesus. Second, so we've done the foundation. The building this time. The building. Build knowing a fire is coming. If you know there's a disaster coming, architects and builders, they know to build buildings in particular ways to deal with catastrophes coming, don't they? So some houses are designed to deal with floods. I saw on an architect's website that this house, this picture of a house, is designed to deal with a flood. And the way that it deals with a flood is very clever, that when a flood is coming along, you get outside your house with a jack and you crank it up. And it deals with the flood like that. Clever, isn't that? I don't know maybe you jack it up from inside the house. I'm not sure how you exit and enter the house once it's up. But anyway, there you go, maybe by boat. But there you go, clever, isn't it? To deal with the disaster that may be coming. Well, there are all kinds of ways that architects have of dealing with disasters, of dealing with potential earthquakes or tornadoes or all kinds of things. As we build a church, we need to be careful how we build because we need to remember that a fire is coming. That's what Paul warns them about. There's a lot of warnings in this passage. And that can be hard for us, can't it? Because we go, okay, we want the building up, we want the encouragement. Actually, Paul's saying, I need to warn you at this point. He's saying, I've got to warn you, there's a fire coming. So verse 12, this is how you've got to be careful how you build. He says, verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. You see, Paul is saying the day is coming. And on that day, there will be a fire. And the fire will test the ministries that there have been. And verse 14, if what's built survives, there's reward. If not, then it'll be burned up. The builder will escape. Presumably, they themselves are trusting in Jesus. And therefore, they escape. But only as one who escapes like one escaping from the flames. And when it says there's one escaping from the flames, it's not imagining, you know, some action films, you get that moment where the building explodes in the background and the hero is running away from it in a kind of heroic kind of way. It's not that kind of escaping from the flames. It's the escaping of the flames where everything you've worked for has burnt up, which is much more sobering, isn't it? My brother once moved overseas, put all his possessions on a container to be taken overseas. But before it even left this country, the lorry that the container was on crashed and he lost everything. All of his possessions gone. And it was horrible for him, devastating for him. Lost everything. Paul is saying, be warned, there is a fire coming and you could lose everything. Now, I find that frightening. Don't you find that frightening? I find that really frightening. So much so, I would quite like just to be able to skim over this passage at this point. But Paul is saying to us, look, you could do a ministry in a church. You could build a church and find that that ministry goes up in flames. So I want to know, the question I've been asking over this last week of this passage is, okay, well, how do we build in such a way that we're safe for when the fire comes? Because we know it's coming. And I take it Paul has told us, he's telling us, because it would be very mean of him not to tell us, wouldn't it? It would be mean for him to say, be careful how you build. There's a fire coming. I'm not going to tell you how to be careful. I take it he's telling us. And he's telling us, I think, throughout the whole of the opening chapters. It's what he's been saying so far. Because he doesn't immediately say, this is how to build with flame-proof material. So I take it it's all he's been saying so far and what he's just about to say in the book of 1 Corinthians. So how do we know? How do we know, as a church, how to build with flame-proof material? That's what we want to know. And I think he comes back to some of the things he's been talking about in the opening chapters in verses 18 to 23. Would you cast your eyes down to there? Now, in those verses, Paul is contrasting two things. He's contrasting the wisdom of the world, which he's talked about already in the opening chapters, and being fools in the world's sight. So he's contrasting those things, being wise in the world's sight and being foolish in the world's sight. And see what he says, verse 18. He says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think he is wise by the standards of this age. Now, just pause there for a moment, because that is something that the Corinthians thought. We know that from elsewhere in the letter. They were viewing themselves as wise. They thought they'd made it. They thought they were really, really wise. So he says, if anyone thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. And so on. So do you see the contrast he's making? He's saying, worldly wisdom, in God's sight, is foolishness. Now I take it, therefore, if you're going to go with worldly wisdom, that is building with flammable material. Because God's looking at it and going, that's just foolishness. It may look wise to the world, but it's foolishness in my sight. And so Paul says, so become a fool. Now, what does he mean by becoming a fool? We're digging into this to find out how we can build with non-flammable material. Okay? How do you become a fool? Paul has already told us. Go back, would you, to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21. And he again uses the language of wisdom and foolishness. See what he says about what it means to be a fool. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay, so did you see in those verses, what is the foolishness that we need to go for? I mean, it's not just being a fool, not just being, you know, stupid, or, you know, it's not just being silly. What's the foolishness that Paul is going for here? It is the foolishness of Christ crucified, isn't it? You say, that's what seems foolish to the world, Christ crucified. That's what you've got to go with. So I think Paul is saying the way you build with material which is not going to burn up is to preach, teach, love Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now notice, that is sort of the same as the foundation, isn't it? It's building in a way which is consistent with the foundation. The foundation is Jesus. To build with precious stones, gold and silver, is to keep building using the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So if you and I, if we want to be popular in the world's eyes, if we want to be wise in the world's eyes, let's not speak of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But if we want to build a ministry, if we want to build a church together, and Paul's saying we've got to be doing this, that's going to last beyond the flames, then we preach Christ and Him crucified. Because after all, it makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus, the cross of Jesus is the only way that any of us can get through Judgment Day. My brother-in-law's wife did a skydive a couple of Saturdays ago. It's one of these ones where she's strapped to someone who knows what they're doing. She's strapped to the person who knows what they're doing. They go up in the aeroplane, they shift along the bench in the plane, doors open, and they go out. Now, she would be mad if halfway down she thought, I don't need that guy behind me. I'll break free from him. I'll be all right. I'll take my chances on my own. She's never going to do that. Because she knew the only way she was going to survive that fall was by being strapped to, attached to, the guy who's got the parachute. She's never going to get through elsewhere, otherwise. The only way we get through Judgment Day, through the fire, is if we are attached to Jesus. If we've got His death in our place, then we're safe. And the only way we have a ministry that will survive Judgment Day is by preaching, teaching, and loving the Lord Jesus. So let it be our focus as a church. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christian, are you building knowing the fire is coming? Building on the foundation of Jesus? Can I ask you a couple of questions? They're questions that actually came up in the spiritual health check, which I think are really helpful for us. They were these. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And are you grateful for the cross? Do you love Jesus? Are you grateful for the cross? And as we do love Jesus and are grateful for the cross, that is us building in ourselves something that will last for eternity. But also, if we're encouraging one another in this, we're building a church to last for eternity. And if you're not a Christian yet, maybe you find the talk of Judgment Day and ministries being tested by fire a bit overdramatic. It's the kind of end of the world stuff, Judgment Day stuff. Maybe you find this is a bit much for me. After all, plenty of comedians and others have taken the mick out of, well, I mean, it seems like the thing of a lunatic cult, doesn't it? Talking about Judgment Day and that sort of thing. If you remember Beyond the Fringe, many of you are too young to remember Beyond the Fringe. I know I am. But I listened to it a lot. They were a comedy group. Brilliant. And they did a sketch which was all about this group of people, this nutty group of people who thought the end of the world was coming. And they went up on a hill and they got their tins of jam ready and they were ready for the end of the world. And they were there ready and they sang their song as the moment approached. They sang, now is the end, perish the world. And they paused. And then someone says, it was GMT, wasn't it? They say, yeah. Oh, well. And they end by saying, should we come again next Tuesday? Yes, next Tuesday. We've got to get it right one of these days. You see, it just seems a bit ridiculous, doesn't it? Talk of the end of the world. And yet, the thing is, Jesus did talk about the end of the world. He did talk about a Judgment Day coming. He never said when it was going to be. So it's not that we should go out on the hills and get ready for it. He says, if someone says they know when it's going to be, they don't know. They haven't got it right. Or probably haven't. Because he says, we won't know. It'll be like a thief in the night. But Jesus says it is coming. And actually, Jesus says, not only is it coming, but actually, he'd come to deal with Judgment Day for us. So we don't need to be scared of it. So we don't need to be frightened of it. He came to die for us, to take our judgment for us. So we don't need to be scared of Judgment Day. He says, I'm sacrificing myself because Judgment Day is coming. Wouldn't it be at least worth looking into whether it's real? John Chapman, the Australian evangelist, was asked, isn't it wrong to scare people with talk of hell? Isn't it wrong to sort of scare people into becoming Christians? For which he answered, well, actually, non-Christians need to ask, not are we trying to scare them, but rather, is there actually anything to be scared of? And the answer is yes. Otherwise, why would Jesus go through the agony of the cross? So we need to build, knowing a fire is coming. And thirdly, and this is very brief, it's about destruction. So we've got foundations, building, and then destroying. And there's a warning here. Verses 16 and 17, Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. You see how God views the church? He says, you're my temple. I love you. You're precious to me. And so he warns those who would destroy the church that they would be destroyed. So Islamic State, Kim Jong-un, and as you go back through history and through around the world, those who have set out to destroy the church, there is a big warning here that they're coming up against the God of the universe who will judge. But actually, even here there's grace, isn't there? Because Paul, the Apostle Paul who wrote this, was himself a church destroyer. He was going around destroying Christians, wasn't he? And yet he turned to Jesus and was forgiven as he turned to Christ and him crucified. So we need to pray for those who are destroying the church that they would turn to Jesus before it's too late, before the day comes. So each one should be careful how he builds. The church is very significant. We've got to be careful how we build. The foundation is Jesus. We've got to build knowing that a fire is coming. In other words, we've got to proclaim Jesus and him crucified. And we've got to use building materials that won't burn. And we know that God will judge those who seek to destroy the church. So let's keep building. Church may not look impressive, but God loves it. God values it. And we're God's building, God's temple, so let's be careful how we build. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word, and we pray, please, we would take seriously the warnings in your word, that we would be careful how we build, building on Jesus Christ and him crucified, him as our foundation, him as the thing we build with, the gospel as the thing that we proclaim. Father, we come to you humbly, knowing we are sinners and we fail over and over again. But Lord, keep instructing us. Keep teaching us how to be the church you want us to be and move us to be that church. Amen.